You know, we humans are strange creatures. On the one hand, we pride ourselves in our ability to reason and to understand. But on the other, well, we can become so caught up in the tide of public opinion that there aren't enough facts to get us to change our minds. As a child, one of my greatest pleasures was sitting on the front porch at my grandparents' home listening to Grandpa tell stories about his own childhood. One that he would tell us was about the time that Halley's Comet was getting ready to appear. While the scientists and the astronomers had all put out their facts and their theories, there were a group of preachers who decided that Halley's Comet was actually the beginning to the end. And they convinced people that what they needed to do was sell everything they own, give the money to them, and then on the night that the comet was going to hit the earth, they were to be on a particular hillside, and Jesus would come and rescue them. Now, Grandpa was a rather young and impressionable boy. And so he finally went to his parents and asked what they were going to do. I mean, you know, if this comet was going to hit the earth and destroy them all, he wanted to be on that hillside. His father reassured him that they were not going to sell the farm, that they would be giving no money to the pastor, and they would not be sitting on that hillside the night that the comet appeared. And then his father said, "Now think about it, son. What are those preachers going to do with all that money when they get to heaven?" Sitting on this side, we know that the only thing that came to earth that night was the comet. The next morning, those who had made their way to the hillside knew that there was not going to be a rapture. But it was too late. They came off that hill with no money, no possessions, no place to call home. And as for the preachers, they were nowhere to be seen. Now maybe there is some humor in adults who are so gullible. Yet there's something about the end times that can spark both our curiosity and our fear. And it happens even among the most faithful. When I was growing up, we were told that Nikita Khrushchev was definitely the Antichrist. He had the mark of the beast right there on his little bald head. We also were told that somewhere in the bowels of that nation, the seven horsemen were getting ready to mount their steed, and they were going to come, and the end of the world was going to get us, and if the seven horsemen didn't do it, then we knew that the Catholics were, because, of course, they worshiped the Antichrist, and they were making bombs in their basement. And then the Cold War ended. And Vatican II opened up all the Catholic churches, and there were no bombs. And the world continued on just as it had. But then, there was the millennium. Yeah. You remember that one? The United Methodist Church actually published literature on the book of Revelations for high school students because they discovered they were becoming so afraid at that point. I mean, planes were going to drop from the sky, our refrigerators were going to quit running, and societies were just going to implode on each other, and the day came and we got up the next morning and nothing happened. The world went on just like it always had. Now we know better. The millennium had nothing to do with it. It is the Mayan calendar that's going to get us. That ancient civilization that, by the way, if they were so intelligent, why on earth are they no longer among us? They figured it out. 2011. Well, except for the person who published the first book on it now says there may have been a slight miscalculation and it might not happen in 2013, but the Mayan calendar has it pinned. The rapture is going to occur. The tribulation is going to happen, and Jesus is going to come again. You don't believe it? Look around. The signs are all there. There's global warming, wars and rumors of wars, plagues, and last but not least, all that tension in Jerusalem. You do know that Armageddon is going to be fought in Jerusalem, right? Okay. Christians, don't get me wrong. I believe that Jesus is going to come again. I believe that there will be a judgment day when each one of us will be held accountable. There will be a day when evil is defeated and the God's reign on earth will begin and there will be peace and there will be justice and the lion will lay down with the lamb. I believe all of that. But that day is known only to God. Until then, those who are determined to scare us, those who are determined to find exactly where the world ends, they're going to continue to find all kinds of signs and symbols and reasoning. But it's always been that way. Even before the time of Christ, prophets were looking forward to the day of the Lord. The day when God would finally rise up and say, enough. And in that day, evil would lose its power. Sin and injustices, suffering and death would be no more. And time again, the prophets said, it's going to happen. Just remain faithful. God's promises are true. We will not be persecuted forever. And then Jesus came. And he reassured the people that it was going to happen. Time and time again, he said, there will be a day when evil is defeated, and those who remain faithful will be saved. They will live in peace, and God's kingdom will come to the earth. You just have to remain faithful. You have to keep trying. You have to keep believing and leave the end to God. And we believe Jesus, don't we? But it's 2,000 years later, and things just seem to be getting worse. So what are we supposed to do? How can we make it from where we are to that promised tomorrow we've all been waiting for? Do we just hold on tight and hope for the best? Or should we just turn our backs on the whole mess and go sit on that hillside and wait for his return? Well, you want to know what? The church in Thessalonica, the one that Paul wrote the letter to that we heard this morning, they were struggling with the same issues. The only thing is is that people had come into the congregation and they had convinced the faithful believers that Christ was on his way. That his return was imminent and he was going to save them all from the heartache of this world. And the promise sounded so good. They believed that his coming was so close that they just stopped everything. In many ways, they went and sat on the hillside. I mean, if Jesus is coming, why worry? If Jesus is coming, we'll just wait. Paul discovered what they were doing. And so he wrote to them. And he explained that yes, someday Jesus would return. And yes, in that moment, the evil one would be defeated. But until that moment came, there was another way. They could live as if the day of the Lord was now. And if they were going to do that, Paul said, you can't just sit down and quit trying. You got to roll up your sleeves and get out there and do the work. He said that God's favor was going to fall on those who, when Jesus returned, were feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and visiting the sick and going into the prisons and doing all of that work that Jesus commanded them to do. You can't stop, Paul says. You got to keep going. And some of them listened. And they continued to try. And the church continued on. While I was preparing this sermon, I found a story about an incident that occurred in the Puritan days of this country's history. It seems as though there had been a total eclipse of the sun. One day they were out working and they found themselves working in darkness, as if the night had come. And in one New England village, the people gathered together to discuss what they had just seen. And after much debate, it was decided that it was the beginning of the end. That this was God's sign that the world was about to end. And then the people realized that they were faced with another decision. What should they do until he came and got them? After the scriptures were consulted and several ideas had been considered, one of the men looked around and he said, when the Lord comes, let us be found doing our duty. May those who have ears listen. and those who have eyes see. To God be the glory. Amen.